Welcome to The Real Fake News on KPCRadio.com, a critically sarcastic analysis of news. In this show, we'll differentiate the real news from the fake with the help from comedians, college professors, advocates, and experts. Today, we will discuss education, veganism, opium-addicted parrots, and more. Today is Wednesday, February 20th. It's 1:36 p.m. I'm your host, Jesse Bertel. Joining me here today, we have L.A. comedian and producer for Discovery and Animal Planet, Richard Velasquez, who has booked shows at Echoes, Stokely's Cafe and Social House, and Haha Cafe, and community organizer and LAUSD teacher Ankur Patel, who's very prominent in local social activism and has run for local office. Hello, Richard.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And hi, Ankur. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, guys. So our discussion is going to be formatted in the game of real news, fake news, where I'm going to present real news stories or fake news stories, and I'll ask you about it. Guys, good with that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, now that we know the rules, let's play the game. You guys ready to go?
Let's do it.
In real news, Governor Gavin Newsom signed SB 126 into law. Now, advocates say that the bill would ensure charter schools are held to the same standards of transparency and accountability as public schools. Pros, cons? I know Ankur here used to work for a school board, and you're a teacher. What do you think about this?
Overall, I think it's a good move for transparency. We've got so much state resources going to public education, but a lot of the times we don't see the results, right? People aren't informed on what's going on. People don't know how government works. There's so many flaws in public education, and making sure that we're getting the resources we need to our public schools has turned into a political battle where we have organizations and institutions like the California Charter School Association that's funding political agendas and funneling money away from public schools to charter schools. And sometimes these charter schools are not above board. There was this example of El Camino High School over here in the West Valley, pretty close to Pierce College, where the principal was going to Monty's on taxpayer dollars, having steak, traveling around, all sorts of other things where it wasn't transparent, right? And because the board of directors of that charter school was appointed, was best friends, who's who type of thing, it became easy to sweep it under the rug, hide it out, and then it wasn't until there was some more investigation, some, whistleblowers put that information out there. So this bill at the state level requires that charter schools follow the same rules as school districts in terms of meetings, posting information, all those sorts of transparency, which is generally good governance. So I think it's a good thing.
I mean, it sounds now like what you were talking about is like New York City public schools in the 80s, where there was nothing for us, right? We didn't get anything. There was no transparency in where the money was being spent. These charter schools sound a little bit like the mob, the guys going out there and having steaks at Monty's on my dollar. You know what I mean? I'd rather have the kids playing sports or doing something constructive. So to me, transparency is always sort of the bastion of truth. Right? That's where if you're not lying or doing something crooked, you should be transparent and have no fear about being that way. So it sounds to me like a good thing.
The bill sounds good to me, the way you guys put it, but anything negative about it that you can foresee?
This is just one step, right? There's a whole big conflict from Betsy DeVos at the federal level trying to go with vouchers and funnel public money into Christian colleges or Catholic schools or whatever it may be, all the way down to local school districts competing with charter schools for students. And we also know that beyond the transparency, are charter schools cherry picking, right? We know, and right now I'm teaching at Olive Vista Middle School out in Sylmar, and there's this thing called co-locations. And again, a lot of good intentions leading to problematic solutions. This idea of co-location was there are a lot of schools, LAUSD or across California, where all the classrooms aren't being used. So if classrooms aren't being used, why don't we let a charter school use them and operate a school? Initially, that sounds like okay, but it's basically turned into at Olive Vista Middle School, where the co-located charter school in the past was inviting the gifted and the magnet students and those folks to join their charter school while the special ed kids were not. Recruited. So you have all these different nuances in the charter school and public school kind of conflict. I don't want to call it a conflict, but it's definitely a difference of opinion on the future of public education, what it looks like, best governing strategies. And so this one bill in terms of transparency, holding charter schools to the same as public schools, is just one little part of this larger struggle that we're in.
So you're trying to say that they only had the heathen slow kids in the other class, and they had all the smart kids who were Christian in the other class?
We'll take the good ones.
Yeah, you know, morally good and super smart. That sounds crazy.
Sounds crazy, but it's self-selecting, right? Also in terms of parents knowing how to get their kids the resources. So even if you have a special ed kid, if you have the capacity to get a lawyer, or you know how to get an IEP, an individual education plan, you can request a BII, a behavior interventional specialist, so that now your kid gets a adult following them around and helping them because you knew how to work the system and ask for things that every kid should have, but because people are in a position to know how to get it, they get it. And that's been the bifurcation of public education in not just the state of California, but across the country.
And we definitely have a long way to go with education. All right, let's move on to the next story. In fake news, The Young Turks reports that Bernie Sanders' CNN town hall was infiltrated by establishment operatives. They pointed out that the audience was deceptively labeled to disguise the questioner's corporate relationships. So what do you guys think about this? Is this news or a conspiracy theory? Should they be open about their possible conflicts of interest in asking specific questions? And was it intentional by CNN?
I have to imagine this was intentional. CNN has been caught sort of doing this thing many times in the past. And I think that at this point, they're relying on the masses to be lazy, because these are things that are easily fact-checked. Even if you're not an expert researcher, you can go online and find out on the LinkedIn links where these people are working. And it clearly stated that some of these people were part of Democratic parties.
Yeah.
So it seems like CNN is trying to act extremely liberal, but at the same time counting on liberals being lazy.
Right.
I mean, that sounds about right. Useful idiots comes to mind to me, right, in terms of framing the message, who's asking which questions, and how, what angle or what perspective gets presented. I mean, it's just part of do your research, find out what's going on, but then that could get into a whole different part of how do you do research? Do we even know how to do research?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I can't agree with anyone's opinion unless I do a deep FBI background check, you know, to find out where this person's leanings have been for the last 20 years.
It's getting complicated.
And
it's
even then, really the FBI may be in on it.
You know,
right?
Because according to the new the Trump administration, the FBI is suspect as well. We've counted on the FBI to do all investigations forever, and now we can't trust them either.
The fine line between real news and fake news, and that's the whole point of this show, is it's really difficult to even for someone who's educated and has a research degree, it's hard to know what is true anymore. And that's why you get, I think, people so far off that they're willing to believe the Earth is flat or there is no space.
Yeah. No, I want everybody's immunization reports in this room, okay? I want to know if I'm going to get measles or something, okay?
All right. Well, let's do one more story here. In real news, according to Vice, opium-addicted parrots keep raiding poppy farms in India. This makes it difficult for opium farmers, and it was reported that the parrots were obviously becoming intoxicated from the poppies, often crashing into trees and branches, or being found lazy in a nearby field having indulged on the drug. And then, of course, once they sober up, they come back for more, and this is a real problem. What do you guys think about this? Is this the natural solution to the opium crisis?
I mean, I think this begs the question as to what kind of consciousness they're experiencing, right? I mean, you know, are there animals that are like sober in their group? You know what I mean? Is there like a 12-step program for parrots? You know what I mean? Like Tweety's out there talking about, I'm an addict. I'm sorry. Sylvester's been driving me crazy. I'm stressed out. So bring on the opium. You know, there are other animals that do this. They're not just parrots. So I was doing some research and I saw that I was doing some research in the past on this because I was writing jokes about these parrots.
Oh.
And I found that wallabies also get high on opium. So I'm wondering, is there like a parrot wallaby cartel? You know, and are they getting together to get the best opium and then trade?
Or is there a battle between the groups?
Yeah, are they like warring? You know, I'd imagine the parrots might have the advantage.
Yeah.
They've got the skies.
They
right?
got the turf
yeah,
covered.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, man, it's interesting to see that, what is it, hundreds of thousands of acres? I didn't see the exact number of opium is being grown in Madhya Pradesh, and they can't get government regulation. I mean, who's looking after these? The article goes into how the farmers are protecting these poppy fields in the middle of the night from these birds, and it's just like a confusing type of, where's the industry? How's it going? Didn't we go into Afghanistan, and weren't there like huge fields of opium in Afghanistan that our soldiers were protecting? How's this all connected?
That's exactly I was in Afghanistan, and I saw the poppy fields, man, and it's crazy because I was embedded with the U.S. Army.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
When was this?
This is back, I want to say 8 years now. I did a show called Heroes of Hell's Highway for Discovery, where we went out and rode on Route 1 looking for IEDs every day.
Oh, wow.
And
looking for IEDs?
Looking for IEDs, yeah. So the show was only good if I got blown up, and when I figured that out, I realized what an idiot I was to be there.
Get out of there.
But anyhow, you know, we would drive by these huge opium fields, and we never stopped to do any enforcement. And that's sort of what you're leaning towards. Like, what is actually going on with this opium? Is it okay or is it not okay? Because the pharmaceutical industry uses some of these products. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be big pharma involved in this as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it was just a funny issue, but apparently it's more serious than I
expected. Well, to the parrots it is. The parrot families are upset.
Oh, man. All right, well, I guess we're ready for another news story. Real news. In real news, NBC reports that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is to be indicted on corruption charges. The announcement marks the first time in Israeli history that a sitting prime minister faces criminal charges of this nature. Is this serious or a liberal witch hunt, as Netanyahu dismissed it?
If I may, he always seems so likable to me, just as a sort of cult of personality, you know? I always thought he was sort of well-spoken and seemed kind of moderate in his views, even though he's a Zionist, and I know that. But, I mean, his nickname is BB. Like, this isn't what you call your blanket or your teddy bear. Like, how bad can the guy be? I don't know. It seems like he's committed some pretty serious crimes. You know, I also came across the idea that, you know, he's a huge admirer of Trump. And we all know these indictments are flying around. So maybe he just really wanted to impress the guy by getting indicted as well. You know,
wants to be in the indicted buddy club.
Exactly. I don't know what his thought process is. I really don't. It seems like he's sort of veered right, left, some which way.
He was right as soon as he got into office, actually. He took office after Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated by right-wingers. And that's kind of been his political trajectory. Just recently, he's aligned himself with even AIPAC, right? Mm. Which is way conservative, called the new political party that he aligned himself with as racist. Yeah. So he's been on this rightward trajectory. This is just pushing him further and further. And it seems like him and Trump have gotten along real well. But and it's a tricky, conflicted issue, right? Ilhan Omar is getting all sorts of labels as the newly elected congresswoman, talking critically of Israeli government and some of their decisions in occupied West Bank or Gaza. You can't even use the word occupied.
I was going to say, they just tried to introduce some legislation that you can't even speak against Israel.
That's been going on. So Benjamin Netanyahu is guilty, in my opinion. The two specific ones look like he was getting favorable coverage from this news agency and that telecommunications company because he was cutting deals with them.
He spent $280 million to get that done. Well, that's
whose money was
allegedly.
It wasn't his money, right?
Yeah,
it was Israeli taxpayer money. So this attorney general, who's also kind of conservative, is just finally gotten fed up with this is a 2-year investigation. Yeah. And the other criticism that got labeled was because this is like 6 weeks before their election or something. It's opportune moment. But didn't that happen here? Like with the FBI investigation and what's the timing? I think it's better for this stuff to come out before an election than after an election anyway.
I mean, at this point, Fox News is almost like state radio or state television, okay? And so it sounds like he was trying to achieve the same goal as his buddy Trump in controlling all of the information that comes out about him.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, that's what dictators do. But it's interesting that this is such a small charge. I mean, there's so much that he could be trying. I mean, What do you think?
The Al Capone thing, man. Mm. You get him on something, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, taxes.
Well, I know with Trump, they're really pushing for the Russia Gate thing.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. But I think the taxes are where he needs to be.
Follow the money.
And the way that Michael Cohen laid it out, it's obvious that he inflated some properties and value when it benefited him and deflated him at other times. That's IRS fraud.
I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I did 3 seasons of The Apprentice.
No way. No.
As an audio operator. Okay?
Condolences.
Oh.
And the man, hey, thank you. I needed it. My ears, you know, I lost an IQ point a day, I like to say.
But you got to know the Don, right?
But I got to know the Don. I flew in his private helicopter. I've eaten with the man. He knows me personally.
Oh, yeah?
He knows my name.
Can you bring him in on the show?
I don't think he would like what I have to say these days. I can't lie. You know, the long story short is the man is an exaggerated personality. We helped create his image. Mm-hmm. Not to go too far, I did sign an NDA, but now he's the president, so I don't really care. One of the things that, just to give you a small example, we had to rent furniture for his office. And there wasn't one company that would rent us any furniture because he is personally known not to pay.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's an example. He's always exaggerating something, whether it's his money or his personality or his relationships. That's just his nature.
Mm-hmm. And just to maybe put a point on it, though, when you get into these positions of power, doesn't matter how you get there, you then can continue your consolidating power and ability, putting people into positions of influence and implementing your political agenda, like Benjamin Netanyahu's been doing in Israel and how Trump is doing.
With his family. They got security clearance. Ivanka does not need security clearance, yeah. Okay?
Well, she needs security clearance to get through with those bags she's smuggling out of the shopping store.
Basically, right?
All right, let's go to the next and last story of the day. In fake news, according to the Roundup, Pierce College newspaper, I probably shouldn't call them fake news because I actually work for the Roundup, but anyway, the Vegan Society wants to ban all processed meats from campus. What do you guys think about this? Richard, would you be happy about them taking away your pepperoni on your pizza?
No, and you know, look, this reminds me of Demolition Man. You guys familiar with this movie, Wesley Snipes?
Oh, yeah, it's been a while.
Sandra Bullock. It's been a while, okay? But there's a paragraph that I have here. It's short.
Okay.
And I just want to read this really quickly, okay? See, according to Cocteau's plan, I'm the enemy because I like to think. I like to read. I'm into freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy, if I want to sit in a greasy spoon and think, gee, I should have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with a side order of gravy fries. I want high cholesterol. I want bacon. I want butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke a Cuban cigar the size of Cincinnati in a non-smoking section. I want to run through the streets naked with Jell-O all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay? I've seen the future. You know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking banana broccoli shake, singing, I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener. Okay? You
got to
live on top.
In the booth on this.
Yeah, I don't know. These guys, they're losing it. The long story short is this, okay? I believe in personal freedom. If I'm getting an education at a college, then I should be able to decide what to put into my body.
Absolutely.
I don't need someone policing my nutritional intake. Much like I don't want them policing what's going in my brain. So to me, this seems like overreach. I just think it's too far.
I'll give you a different perspective. And I agree on policing is overreach and telling you exactly what you do. But we're in the middle of the 6th mass extinction this planet is seeing. Global warming. It's not just global warming. It's a climate catastrophe, chaos. We're destroying the planet. Health, obesity, diabetes. The way that animals are treated, it's gross. It is inhumane. And it's if you've been to a pig vigil over at Farmer John's, seeing these pigs roll up, it's like the Holocaust, truck after truck. They get trucked from wherever, and they don't even get water. So it's an intersectional issue, animal agriculture, the farming of meat products, and not just environment, health, animal safety. It's an immigrant issue, right? Who's in these factory farms murdering these animals with, and it causes mental issues. It tends to be migrant workers. It tends to be illegal, undocumented mm-hmm. folks. It's a feminist issue, right? The way that these animals are cows to produce milk, raped, and their babies are separated from them. I mean, there are so many different issues that we can get to. And as a Hindu, I ain't telling you can't have bacon. I'm just asking you to think about it a little bit more.
Are you vegan?
I'm almost there. I'm at like 99%.
Well, Encore is actually currently advocating for more vegan options in public schools.
Got
yeah,
it.
We just got a resolution.
So I went directly against your position.
Hey, you're funny. It's good to be on. You need to have differences of opinion and be able to talk it out. We can elevate the mm-hmm. conversation when we can do it. That was a great quote of Demolition Man. That was kind of funny. I enjoyed it.
But
too.
Encore, do you think that the meat ban is going too far to get to that goal?
Well, the thing about the meat ban here at Pierce specifically is it's not targeting all meats either. It's targeting processed meats, which has now been been labeled a level one carcinogen by the World Health Organization.
But bacon is included, and I don't know.
Bacon is good, man.
There's all sorts of vegan alternatives. I just suggest you start looking for some of the alternatives when you can. But
Impossible Burger just don't taste good.
Turkey bacon, maybe, but tofurkey bacon, I don't know.
And I'd parallel this to, say, our reliance on fossil fuels, right? The energy technology is evolving. We're getting off of fossil fuels, and wind and solar is evolving. In the same way, our food science is going to evolve and develop as well. So, again, I'm not trying to tell you what you can and can't do, but, you know, think about it a little bit more. And then if you can lower your meat consumption, don't rely on it all the time, that's an important step. And again, all these issues, it's intersectional. That's part of the research, right? Do your own research and figure out.
You made me think. I'm not going to lie. You're making me think. You've achieved your goal, okay? You got me thinking.
Well, I mean, but is it possible that we can fix some of those problems without banning, I mean, without going after meat itself, but actually the way that we do the meat? I mean, there's ways to do, pig farms that are environmentally friendly, and still people can eat their bacon and feel good about it, and not
the reason I can't argue
maybe not
to,
their cholesterol,
to,
but
you know, I've traveled internationally quite a bit, and I've seen animal slaughter in many different cultures, and I have to say, while I enjoy my bacon, I did not enjoy the squealing of the pig while it was dying.
There's no compassionate slaughter. It just doesn't happen. I mean, you could call it that, but it just doesn't happen that way. And especially at the scale. If you're trying to feed everyone meat product
it becomes a factory.
And then it becomes unsustainable even more. It takes more space. It takes more resources to farm these animals with that level of attention.
My dreams tonight are going to be filled with squealing sounds.
This is a very complicated.
Was that real
issue.
News? Was that too real?
It's a little too real, I think.
It's supposed to be fake news. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have for our news stories. But before we go, I wanted to give both of you a chance to promote or tell the viewers where they can find out more about what you were doing. Ankur, would you like to start?
Just add me on Facebook, Ankur, A-N-K-U-R, Patel, P-A-T-E-L. My Twitter is Vote Patel. I've ran for office before. I'm not running for anything now. But pay attention. Your vote matters, and everything we do has ripple effect and future consequences.
Richard?
You can follow me on Instagram at Richie V Comedy. I also have a show this coming Saturday. It's called Saturday Night Laughs at Stokely's Cafe and Social House on 3500 West Pico Boulevard at 9 p.m. We'll be hosted by the wonderful Kalia McNeil. She's an amazing comedian. So come check me out.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me today. And I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at Jesse Bertel. Tune in to The Real Fake News every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. on kpcradio.com and on my YouTube page at The Real Fake News.